Blog Talk Radio.
Leave me alone! You know what?
You are a stupid brat.
You're the one who has ruined my whole damn life.
I'm sorry!
If you did something here, you might prevent what comes next.
Answer me!
Ow!
Answer me right now!
No.
Are you going to do what I tell you to, or are you going to pay for it? That is it. Get in your bed and stay there. If I have to hold you in there.
Mommy!
I am sick and tired of listening to you be defiant to me.
If you did something here, you might stop this from happening.
And I'm going to take your hand, and I want you to wipe this up.
No.
Wipe it up.
No.
Wipe it up, or I will make you wipe it up. Do you understand me? If I have to pull that arm right out of its socket.
If you did something here, you might never forgive yourself for not doing something earlier.
I'm taking her.
No, I want to ride with her. Just wait.
Too many kids suffer because people refuse to get involved. Learn what to do if you see abuse or neglect at BeHumane.org, sponsored by the American Humane Association, protecting children and animals since 1877.
Good morning. Welcome to the second half of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for listening to the show. I just got off the phone with Black Nature from Sierra Leone Refugee All-Stars, and we had a little technical difficulties, but we finally got it hooked, connected, so to speak. And we do have about a short interview with him, and hopefully the group can come back on. There will be more members on in the future. But you want to pick up a copy of their newest album, Rise and Shine. They also have a documentary about their tour and rise to success with their music. So you want to pick up that DVD. You can go to their website and purchase that. Also, you can purchase on Amazon. I'll be giving away some copies of the CD, Rise and Shine. And so please check out the fan page on Facebook. Also, check out a Twitter account, twitter.com/Joy Keys. The show is on Facebook Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, you can email me if you have any questions or concerns about the show, any comments. Just want to say hi, how you doing? That's fine, too. Saturdays with Joy Keys at hotmail.com. But right now, this is the second half because there's just so much to talk about in the world. I can't fit it all in. I probably do a four-hour show, but right now I'm only doing a one-hour show. This segment is going to be dealing with child abuse. I'm a parent. I have a child, and this is very close to my heart. This month is Child Abuse Prevention Month, and so today I'm going to be speaking with Lauren Morley from the American Humane Association, and she's on the line right now. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Hi. Yeah. Thank you so much for calling in this morning. I know you called in a little earlier.
Sorry about that.
No, that's cool. That's cool. I just have two different segments, so kind of have to like shut that one down and then start the next one. But
sure.
Let me just tell the audience a little bit about you. You're a manager of training, prevention, and child welfare for the American Humane Association Child Welfare Program. Basically, you manage and work in the area of child maltreatment prevention. And this month is Child Abuse Prevention Month, so that's why I have you on. I want to thank you. You guys are working on a wonderful project which caught my eye, the Front Porch Project. Talk to the audience about that.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, first of all, for having American Humane Association on. We're the nation's voice for the protection of children and animals, and we're very happy to be able to speak with you and the community that you reach about Child Abuse Prevention Month. And yes, the Front Porch Project is an innovative community-based child abuse prevention initiative that the American Humane Association launched in 1997. And we firmly believe that each member of a community can and should become more involved and aware of how they can help protect children and support families to prevent child abuse before it ever happens. And so the Front Porch Project was created to empower community members to do just that. And what's unique about the Front Porch Project is that unlike a lot of other national child abuse prevention initiatives, which focus specifically on helping at-risk parents or families, or maybe the professionals that respond to those families, the Front Porch Project is targeted at everyday community members. And those are the community members that are the neighbors and family members and informal supports that families often turn to before they ever turn to professional services. And so the Front Porch Project is really geared at helping educate everyday community members about what they can do when they encounter situations where they have concern about the well-being or safety of children.
Well, I think that everyday people can make a difference, but it's very difficult because, you know, Lauren, you don't know what line to cross. If you're walking down the street and you see someone, mistreating a child, you know, how far do you allow them to go before you're like, whoa, wait, that's too much? And then you also have to think about your safety. In terms of teachers and nurses and social workers, I mean, we have ethically, we're bound to make the call and try to make, a stop to the situation. But everyday citizens, it's kind of difficult. Let me just tell the audience some statistics here. Reported child abuse is made every 10 seconds. Almost 5 children die every day as a result of child abuse. More than 3 out of 4 are under the age of 4. Under the age of 4. So it's happening to very, very young children. So what specifically, if someone is seeing something happening or hears something, as an everyday citizen, how can they intervene? Do they approach the family, do you feel? Do they call the authorities? How do you suggest that they actually intervene?
Well, you bring up a number of great points, and so I'll try to address each of those. I think, first of all, when you're a community member and you are aware of a family, it might be a neighbor or even a family member or somebody you know personally, you're likely to probably have more information that leads you to have a real concern that something's going on. In order to make a report of child abuse and neglect, all you need is a suspicion or a gut instinct that something's not right. That's all that's needed to make a report. The professionals that are on the other end of any child abuse hotline can help gather information to determine if it's something that really needs the professional intervention of a Child Protective Services agency. So there's definitely situations where if it's escalated to that level, we really recommend that community members make a report. But sometimes what you brought up is we encounter these situations in public where we just feel uncomfortable about something that's going on and feel like we want to do something to help, but we're not quite sure what to do. And I think one of the points you bring up is excellent, and that is, you know, how do we know when to cross that line? And I think, first of all, we need to be aware of how we interpret situations, because we all have our own cultural background. We all have our own upbringing and understanding of what family and parenting looks like. And so that's the lens through which we see the world. So when we encounter a situation in public, we want to make sure that we're kind of aware of what we're bringing into that understanding of what we see, and then also being mindful of what the parent's intentions might be in a situation we encounter and what the child might understand is going on. And if we take that time to kind of perceive and scan all of those areas, I think we're much more likely to identify kind of that when we should get involved to do something. And what the Front Porch Project talks about is that there's no prescription of if you're in situation A, here's what you should do. It's about making sure you intervene, A, in a way that feels comfortable to you, and that means, as you mentioned, a way that's going to make sure you're safe in that situation when you do respond. But it's also about responding in a way that the family will find helpful. So we're not encouraging folks to go out and be parenting crusaders and try to tell parents what we think they are doing correctly and not doing correctly. We want people to think about, what can I do in this situation that can be helpful to what I'm seeing take place? So, for example,
Lauren, let me give them a phone number. I want the National Child Abuse Hotline. It's 1-800-4-A as in Apple Child. Again, 1-800-4-A as in Apple Child. And you are being abused yourself. If you're listening to the show, you're a young person. You can call that hotline, or if you know someone or you suspect someone's being abused, you can call that number. Again, 1-800-4-A as an Apple Child. I encourage you to use that line. But go ahead. What were you going to say, Lauren?
No, I was going to say we're all members of a community. We all encounter situations in public. And so, you know, for example, if you're in a grocery store, if you're in Target or Walmart, and you see a situation and a parent's maybe yelling at a child or spanks the child and you feel uncomfortable about what you're witnessing, you know, again, it's important to scan where you're coming from and what might be happening in this situation. But for some people, they might feel comfortable walking up and saying to a parent, hey, is there anything I can do to help you right now? While somebody else might feel more comfortable kind of doing something to distract.
Making a call.
Or knocking over a display in the store, or maybe maybe going up to the store manager and saying, hey, you know, I saw this parent and child in aisle 4. I was a little bit concerned. Do you think you'd maybe be able to go over there and just check it out? So what we like to say is that it's just about doing something, and what that something is, it's really based on your continuum of comfort in any given situation. So, but every action, small or big, can make a really big difference. And that's really at the core of what the Front Porch Project is about.
One of the things I also want to mention is that 31% of women in prison in the United States were abused as children. Over 60% of people in drug rehabilitation centers reported being abused or neglected as a child. Now, a lot of times people think about abuse, they visualize maybe the actual act of hitting. They might be able to think about sexual abuse. But there's also abuse and neglect, not providing, you know, enough food, not providing clothing, not providing the proper shelter, not providing attention, just leaving the kid maybe to fend for themselves. That is neglect. You know, I myself was a latchkey child. I don't necessarily feel that I was neglected or anyway, but unfortunately there are people where they are left for hours and hours, even overnight, you know, young children, or even as children get older. You know, I have a teenager. Children still need supervision. They can't just be, you know, let loose. You know, my daughter thinks I'm crazy. Why do I have to call you when I get here? Why do I have to call you when I get back? Why do I have to, you know, that? Because I'm concerned about you, and I'm concerned for your safety. And it's not necessarily you, but it could be your environment. Something could be happening. I need to notify you. It could be the people that you're with. So even though your children look grown, they are not. So they still need monitoring, and you still need to monitor who they are interacting with, who they're around, teachers, professionals, even if they decide to get a job as a young person, I encourage you to, you know, be vigilant about that. But in terms of stopping child abuse, those statistics that you can help save somebody's life, not only at the moment, but further down the path in their life. Because as I read earlier, 31% of women in prison in the United States were abused as children. That's a huge number, Lauren. What the American Humane Association, what are they doing in terms of someone, if they have been abused and they come to you, what are some resources that you can provide to them?
Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you for bringing up the issue of neglect, because it's something that I think the general public isn't always fully aware of, because the types of stories that tend to come out in the media are those more severe types of cases. But in actuality, about 60 to 80%, depending on any local community, about 60 to 80% of the cases that come to the attention of the child welfare system are neglect cases. And in those situations, it's often a family that is in need of just some concrete support, whether that be no connection to maybe family or friends or neighbors. Maybe they moved to a new community and they don't know anybody. And so situations like you mentioned where kids are left alone often becomes a situation of a parent deciding, I've got to go to work and I don't have an appropriate child care option. And so children might get left home alone for that reason. So I think making that distinction and making the public aware of that issue is really important. American Humane Association actually works with all of those who respond directly to child abuse and neglect. So we help to support systems and strengthen the type of response that they provide in any community to cases that get brought to the system's attention. So some of the things, the initiatives and programs that American Humane has that can help with those folks who come to the system's attention are things like our Family Group Decision-Making Initiative, which is about bringing together all members of a family, whoever that family identifies as their family. So maybe in my family, people who are not just biologically related to us, but some of our neighbors and longtime family friends, are people we consider like aunts and uncles. So bringing everybody to the table and helping to elevate the family's voice and making decisions about what happens to their children. And sometimes that means kids can't be left in the home that they were living in at the time a situation or instance of abuse or neglect took place. But then how can we find the best situation for that child, and having the family help identify what that situation might be?
I think you brought up a really important point about once you go into the family, you find that the family as a whole are dealing with different issues. And that's I want to say that, you know, and there are programs for parents. There's a group, I think it's Parents Anonymous, for parents who are dealing with trying to control their anger, trying to control their issues in order to be better parents. So if you are a parent and you're listening and you feel that maybe you're on the verge or on the edge, or you have done something, you're like, wow, there is help out there. I will look for the number, but there is an organization for parents who may have been abusers to reach out. Now, I just want to go back to the family. I think as a society, the issue of childcare is extremely expensive, Lauren. I mean, yes. If you have any children, you know, childcare is very expensive, and, you know, people who are struggling with that issue, I mean, that's a very serious issue as a society. It's not the family's fault. I don't think that we don't have affordable child care. I think as a society, if we think children are important, why are we not, as a society, government, finances, whatever, putting more money into good child care? Right now they're about to chop the, what is that, the Head Start program. So I think as a larger system, not just the family, but the macro outside the family, trying to chop. If your church, let me put it this way, if your church does not have a child abuse, group they need to have one. If your recreation, your Y center doesn't have a child abuse group, they need to have one. 1 in 4 women are abused. Men are also abused. Lauren, how do you feel the difference between the abuse that men deal with and women? Are there differences that you see, generalized differences?
Well, you know, I think it's interesting you brought up earlier the statistic about young children, because we do see that the maltreatment rate of children under the age of 5 is substantially higher. And if you think about, so rather than there being significant gender differences when you talk about physical abuse or neglect, I think what you often see is young children that are experiencing that. And those are really the kids, depending on the age, that might not have the verbal capacity to be able to, you know, express what's going on for them. If they're angry and they're crying and they're acting out, but they can't verbalize what's happening for them, that can be really frustrating for a parent. I think every parent's been in this situation of not understanding what your child needs and not knowing how to provide that, and perhaps acting out in a way that you don't intend. And given some of the rates of substance abuse and mental health concerns in our society, you put that on top of a stressed out parent already. And, you know, it's hard to not understand why that can make an influence on how a family functions. And so some of the gender differences, I think, play out when you look at issues of child sexual abuse. And oftentimes, you know, the statistics we have come from the number of people who have actually made a report or come out and said, you know, I have experienced child abuse and neglect. And I think our society puts certain stereotypes around what's okay for girls to talk about and what's okay for boys to talk about. And I think there's a lot of issues of shame and embarrassment when it comes to both sexual abuse and physical abuse for young children, especially school-age children. And so I think we tend to see young girls that make a report just because of how we socialize children sometimes, allowing girls to be more verbal about their emotions versus what we tend to socialize little boys about. So, you know, I think what's important to understand is that child abuse and neglect is not a racial issue or a socioeconomic issue. It's issues of what can happen in families when there's a lot of stressors and not a lot of social support. And so one really important thing to think about, with April being Child Abuse Prevention Month, is what's something you can do as a member of community to reach out and support a family that you know. And I think what you brought up, the issue of childcare, even if it's just volunteering to watch the children of somebody you know for a couple hours, give them a break, let them recharge. Parenting's a tough job. Nobody's given a manual how to do it. And I think it's important to try to identify ways that we can all support the families that we know.
That's a key point right there. There is not a manual. I know a lot of high schools try to have – no, but seriously, the high schools try to have these programs. The kids take the baby homes. They have to feed them. They, you know, actually are very interactive, you know, fake babies, and, you know, they got to change the diaper and all that stuff. But one of the things I think that the parenting training in all high schools needs to happen, I think in all high schools parenting training needs to happen. This is not saying I'm encouraging kids to go have sex and have babies, no. But you – I mean, younger and younger kids are having babies. And when an older individual, if you say older past the age of 20, has a baby, that issue of patience needs to be taught in these programs. Patience and the ability to deal with conflict needs to be taught in these programs. Because I will tell you, as a parent, I remember my daughter was, she was under 2. She was under 1 maybe. She was crying one day. And I remember rocking her, and I was breastfeeding her, and I'm singing to her. I'm walking around the apartment. I'm, you know, doing crazy, you know, jumping clown things. And she was just crying and crying and crying. And I was like up to my eyebrows, whatever, like, what the heck? You got food, your diaper is dry, I'm singing your favorite song.
I don't know
what
to do.
I even used to like this opera. I don't know what to do. But you know what? Thank God for whatever is inside of me that I had some kind of patience to allow that moment to pass. And let me tell you, I was exhausted afterward. I was completely exhausted.
Oh, yeah.
She finally did, you know, fall asleep. But everybody doesn't have that skill, that ability to of patience and conflict. That's what needs to be taught in school. And that skill can help you in other areas in your life, not just dealing with children.
Definitely.
But that to me, Lauren, is key. I'm sorry I went on a little rant there. But
oh, no,
you know,
that's okay. But I agree. And you're right. Like, especially, I mean, whether it's young children or older children, nobody's given a manual. And so those informal supports that we all have, friends, neighbors, faith-based community members, we as parents, I think the other issue within our communities is that it's not always okay or accepted that we ask for help. But what's important is that raising kids is not an easy job. And we as parents need to recognize that everybody needs help sometimes. And whether that means just picking up the phone and calling somebody you know when you are kind of at your edge and you need some space and you need somebody to just come, that's what we encourage parents to think about is, don't be afraid to ask for help. It's something that every parent needs, and our community needs to support parents in recognizing that we all have that need.
Lauren, what's a number if organizations want to bring the Front Porch Project to them or get manuals and books? Is there a phone number? Where on the website should they go to learn more about training, the trainer type of things?
Sure. So if they have an interest in bringing the Front Porch Project to their community, they can go to our website, which is www.americanhumane.org/frontporch. And all of the information about this initiative can be downloaded or read there, as well as information about the communities that are currently implementing the Front Porch Project. I believe you're based out of Philadelphia, is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're actually getting ready in the next couple of months. We're working with the Pennsylvania Family Support Alliance, out of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and they are going to be implementing the Front Porch Project across the state. And so if you have an interest in actually attending a local community training of the Front Porch Project and you're in Pennsylvania, you can visit their website. They, again, are the Pennsylvania Family Support Alliance, and their website
I'm going to put that in the chat room. I'm going to put that in the chat room for the people. It's pa-ffa.org. Again, pa-ffa.org. So I'm going to put that in the chat room for people, and also I'll try to put that on the fan page so they can get more information. But go ahead, Lauren, what were you going to say?
Oh, they have, there's already local training scheduled for May and June, and they're looking to schedule some more community trainings around the state. So if you happen to be in Pennsylvania, that's a great way to go and actually be a part of the Front Porch Project. If you're a community outside of Pennsylvania and you have an interest in bringing the Front Porch Project to your community, that's where you can contact us at American Humane through our website, and we can speak with you more about what that might look like and talk about what it would take to bring the Front Porch Project to your community.
I want to encourage anybody who's listening, if your church or your recreation center or your child care center is not dealing with the issue of child abuse, then they are being neglectful. I will say that and stand by that because it is a serious issue. And as I mentioned earlier, under the age of 4 is when most of the abuse is happening. I have a friend of mine whose young son, as a baby, was shaken, not to death, but shaken to the point where they are she has to take care of the child for the rest of its life. The child now is about 18, but they can't do anything for themselves, really. And that was because, unfortunately, the father did not have the patience or know what to do with the child, and it was found that he shook the baby.
Yeah.
To that point of the child, you know, not being able to take care of himself. So, and that is just... you know, a very sad, I remember, she's a very good friend of mine, and I remember it happening and just in shock and disbelief, and they were going to take her child from her because they thought she had done it, and it's just a horrible situation. So I think if you are in a school, if you're in a church, you're in a community group, if you're living on a block and you're a block captain, maybe have a seminar about child abuse, not even about child abuse, about parenting and patience and dealing with conflict. It's a very serious issue, and it's not something that you automatically know. It's not something as a human being, I think you know how to deal with conflict and stuff. So
yeah.
That's something that you can engage. And as Lauren mentioned, if you're in Pennsylvania, you can check out PA-F as in Frank, S as in Sam, A as in Apple, .org. Also, you can go to AmericanHumane.org. and learn more about their programs there. I want to thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah, thank you, Joy. And I just want to say that for folks who are looking for more tips about what they can do in April and year-round to support families, if you go to our website, AmericanHumane.org/April, we have a whole list of tip sheets of things that you can do for your family, for your friends and neighbors, and for your community to help support families and children. And we just thank you and encourage folks to get involved in whatever way they feel comfortable.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate what you guys are doing at the American Humane Association. I think it's a wonderful, and the Front Porch Project is definitely, I think, right on point with getting the community involved and trying to stop this issue. You have a wonderful Saturday, Lauren.
Thank you so much. We appreciate being involved.
Thank you very much. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for your patience early. If you had tuned into the earlier half of the show, I really appreciate your patience. I will be giving away some CDs of the Sierra Leone Refugee All-Stars. Thank you for listening today. Next Saturday, I will not be having a show. Again, next Saturday, 23rd. The next show will be on the 30th with Warris Theory, another amazing story from living in the desert to becoming a world-renowned model and also an advocate for eliminating female genital mutilation. So that's April 30th at 11 a.m. Eastern. She's actually going to be calling in from Poland, so you want to check that out. The call-in number is 646-929-0368. You can follow me on twitter.com/joykeys, and you can become a fan of the show. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys on Facebook. And you can also email me. Just email SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. I hope you have a wonderful week, wonderful Saturday, and just try to be happy. You know, take every day as a blessing. Appreciate the people around you. I want to say hi to any of my family. I know I have a lot of support. My grandmother, who has been very helpful and supportive to me, my mom and my daughter, just everybody. I hope you have a wonderful week. Thank you.
That does not hurt.
Let me
know. Give you something that hurts.
Stop.
How about that? Huh?
Stop.
How about that? Did that hurt?
Yeah, that's
please
what I thought.
Stop.
Oh, are you going to cry now?
Oh,
no. There you go. Yeah, well, you know what? That might work on some people.
You think that's going to hurt my feelings or something?
When you hear someone hurting a child, will you do something? Or just turn up the radio. Learn what to do if you see abuse or neglect at BeHumane.org, sponsored by the American Humane Association.